happens to me. Yes, nice thing happens. The vowels in Latin or Italian are the proper singing vowels, incidentally. And that are they. That's he. That's who. That's o, as we know it. That's ah, as we know it. And this is A, as we know it, only not quite as we say it. See, we say A, don't we? A, we also say O and O. We make two syllables out of those. O, notice, O. A, get it? A, not A. So we're going to sing today. No, I don't want to do music. You don't think he or things. Me, mo, ma. Me, mo, ma. Got that? Sounds like tongues, doesn't it? Nice, slow, rich. Energy on the M sound. Me. Me, not. Me, mo, ma. Me, mo, ma. Feel your face buzzing. Right? Your parts bouncing off.
Down there.
And they do need to find out that there's a voice up there. Oops. Now. Yes, I was going to pass that. I didn't intend to throw it to the floor. Please take out that tune I passed out to you. We'll talk more about these vowels. Believe me, we'll talk more about these vowels. Okay, there are certain musical changes which I want written in pencil in this arrangement. Now, of course, you all have a pencil. We know how I feel about not having a pencil, don't we? This is maybe the only time I ever do this, but I'm going to do it. And that's actually right to change from the board, so you can see them. Usually I read them off, and that should be satisfactory. Okay, this is the second measure of the piece, actually the first whole measure. Technically, in music, you would call this the first measure, but it looks like the second measure. The first measure is actually only three pickups. It's not a whole measure, so you wouldn't call it first measure music.
The words are...
Now, this is the way it appears on your paper. Now, I'll describe to you the change I want, and then I'll show you how to write it in. In pencil. The change I want is in the bass. The second note, I want changed in the bass to a 16th note, following it, the note B added as a 16th note. That's what I want. Now,
well, the way I would do that is I would add another flag there, put in my little 16th note there, and try it together.
That same change also should be accomplished in the third line, last measure. Third line, last measure, want the same change. Now, everyone should mark all changes in their music. And the reason is very, very simple. It's because you never can tell when we want to alter the parts around and have you sing some other part. And you want to sing the some other part as it has been altered. I do that all the time. Have bassist sing melody, alto sing tenor, and round and round, yeah. I know it looks like that, but I don't have any trouble with that when I look at it. If you are that concerned about it, you can add another stem like that. To me, I don't see another note there, so I don't have a problem. In fact, when I read a tenor line, I very rarely can see the stems because they're so far away. So I see a dotted note, and then another note, and a dotted note. another note. I know it's a dotted quarter eight. I know that's the pattern.
But if you want to be super technical, you can do that to the tenor note to make sure the tenors don't make error. Because then the tenors end up a
what? Quarter of a beat shy in that measure. We wouldn't want that, would we, tenors? Now,
everybody's got that change. You got it in both places, right?
Right.
Now, usually, I will describe the change that I want and you to write it in without seeing it on the board. But I'm letting you see one of these done. You'll see how to do it. Let's see, how does this one go? Okay, this is the second measure of line 2. Where it flows, 4 high. The words. And the change I want made is this. I want added, well actually I want this. I will tell you it, then I'll write it down. In the alto and soprano, on the first note, your dotted half, I want that changed to a dotted quarter. And then prior to it, I want added the notes first space F and first added space D for the alto as an eighth note prior to that dotted quarter note. I want it then tied, the dotted quarter note, tied to the quarter note E flat soprano, D flat alto, following the dotted quarter note. And in the bass and tenor, I want you to eliminate your dot, making it a half note, and then have it tied to the notes third space E flat bass and first added space B flat tenor. So it looks like this. You fill this in for the soprano and alto. Then you add an eighth note out here, tie it in. Then you add a fourth note out here. And tie it in. Okay? And here you simply X out the dots. You don't remove them, you X them out. And you add new tenor notes and bass notes. Tie them in. Like that.
Now that change also should appear in the fourth line, third major. Fourth line, third major. Now there is enough space. Fortunately, in this piece of music, to get that in and clearly see it. You write carefully and have a nice sharp point on your pencil. Don't write it in real dark. Because when you do erase later, you don't want to have no lines. Which, these?
Right here. Those are quarter notes.
They share a common stem. It's clear to see, you can always put a down stem in the alto. And an up stem, kind of like that.
And this also occurs
in the fourth line, third measure. There's one other change which I will tell you, and I won't write it down. That's in the fifth line. Second measure, actually the first full measure, the word is beauty. Tenors have D flat, D flat, D flat. I would like that first note to be E flat, the first eighth note to be E flat instead of D flat. What I do longer, thicker ledger lines and add the note of throat, even though it's not quite in the right spot. That way, this note still remains if I need that to use it for reference later. I have it here. I said E flat instead of D flat, is what I said. So, what I do is I make this ledger line thicker. I just thicken that ledger line so it takes up some of the note and add another ledger line. Now, for fun, everyone sit up straight, and I hope you're sitting in your seats where you belong. Sit close to one another. I'm going to give you the first chord, the first note, and you're going to sight sing this. Right? Just exactly as it's written. You're singing with absolutely no support whatsoever. You're just giving me this. You sound like junior high school girls. I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflowing. How do you get by without breathing every note? You know what's happening? Why you sound like that? Because you're letting all this breath out on every note. So it's just windy sound on top of the tone, which should be a very clear sound. Now, some of you sight sang this quite nicely. Some of you have this memorized. That's not fair. Some of you remember it from the tape, but it's different, and so you sang what was on the tape instead of what was on the page. And I gotcha. Now, obviously, most of you are familiar enough with this that you can get the rhythm about right, which is good. You don't have to read rhythm. But I want you to learn how to read pitches. So, sing it again, and I'll play this time. One, two, three. Saying, I'm taken with your beauty. Is there a moving part on the syllable bew? Then why in the world did any of you make that mistake? I can tell you exactly why. You're not paying attention to what's on the page. You're trusting in your memory or in some ability that you're going to get by with making a mistake. For those
nothing else but praise you, my heart is full and overflows, for I'm taken with your beauty, and your love has filled my soul.
Very good, gang. You think you're so hot? Let's hear you sing the bass part. This one's tricky, right? Ready? One, two, three.
I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflows.
Whoops.
For I'm taken with your beauty and your love.
Five parts at once.
Taken with your beauty, and your love has filled my soul.
Now, why I can't read and sing the bass part at the same time, but I can't. That's not too bad. Did you get all the moving parts and stuff? Almost. Which one?
Nothing else.
Right? Bass is stand. By yourselves. One, two, three. Filled my soul. Filled my our quarter notes. You may be seated, basses. Everyone's going to sing the tenor line. Now, some of you may have to sing a little falsetto, but that's fine. Do sing it. Do sing and learn. Rob, are you a tenor or a bass? Rob Daly. You should sit up between Bob and you. Great. Okay. Tenor line, everybody singing. One, two, three. I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflows, for I'm taken with your beauty. I made it up a part, and your love has filled my soul. I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflows, for I'm taken with your beauty, and your love has filled my soul. Isn't tenor fun? It's the funnest part in music. Sopranos, you were sounding like you were straining on some of those notes. They're really not that high. Take it again, tenor line. You're reading? Are you getting some of it? Seeing how it goes? Understanding a little bit? How to follow pitches? That's the whole idea of this exercise, is to become more proficient readers. Two, three. I can do nothing else but praise you. I'm inventing a part. One little item we should work on here while we're here. I just taught you a few moments ago about the Italian A sound, didn't I? Praise you. Praise you. Y'all twanging like you're from Tennessee. Praise you. One sound on A. I now realize for Daryl and Lynette this could be difficult. But that's coming from a country background. Tenor line. One, two, three. I can do nothing else. Come on, sopranos. Leap on up there and sing it. It's not that high. I know, admittedly, it's right dead center of your break, but now you're going to learn how to sing through your break. I know it's difficult, but not that difficult. Support the tone, sit up straight, and you'll do fine. One, two, three. I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflows, for I'm taken with your beauty, and your love has filled my soul. Nothing else but praise you. My heart is full. Y'all missed the line change there. Start with pick up to the last measure of line three. Hello, don't talk, I am. Pick up to the fourth measure of line three. One, two, three. I can do nothing. Now y'all know where we are. You know what pickup is? It's not something with only a seat in front and a bed in back. One, two, three. I can do nothing else but praise you. My heart is full and overflows, for I'm taken with your beauty, beauty, beauty. Right? Such a chord, Booker. For I'm taken. Two, three.
For I'm taken with your beauty, and your love has filled my soul.
Nice key change. We'd just never be able to sing that high. Okay. Now let's hear four part. Everybody knows her line now, right? One, two, three. Okay. Did you hear what you did, sopranos? I can do na-na. It's called a scoop. Rule number one. No scoops. Right? Hear the pitch pointing. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Hit exactly where you belong. Get your mind in gear. Let your mind follow the music, and then let your voice follow your mind. If your mind is elsewhere, you'll sing all over the place. It's called neighborhood singing, someplace in the neighborhood of the note. One, two, three. Piano. Robert does? You do? Joanne does, that's right. And oh yeah, Corey can. Daryl can a little. Everyone's going to get your chance in this class. You play Lynette? Good. Oh good, lots of piano players. I got some real... The question was, how many heard the question? When you don't know the song at all, is it that easy to sight sing parts? And the answer is no. But usually after a couple of, you know, read-throughs, you can get begin to get familiar. I'm trying to find one in here that you may not know. I pulled out a bunch that I wanted to use, but I may just for fun. These you should all know. These are ones we are going to use in this class that you do know. Right, but I may pull out some things that you don't know. Now, that was what you just experienced was not music. No, it wasn't music. Music, if it is not whole, is not music. It's like taking a stem from the end of your banana and saying, this is a banana. It's not a banana. The banana is all the rest of this stuff. This is not the banana. Mere notes in time is not music. Words sung two notes in time is not music. Oh yes, there are those who pawn it off as music and even sell it on records. But it is not music in the true sense of the word. So we're going to learn how to make music in this class and to make music happen. That particular piece of material is a long ways from being music or anything else that we might sing is a long ways from being music. But that doesn't discourage me, and it shouldn't discourage you, because some of you in this class do know how to make music, and you're in this class for who knows what reason, but I'm glad you're here, because you can learn how to teach choral music. And I hope that that's why most of you are here, and you'll take notes, and you'll pay attention, and you'll think through what's going on, so that you could, you know, I could say, here, Faye, you are now a pastor's wife, and you are in charge of music ministry, and you have 22 fledgling singees wanting to sing. What do you do to make it happen? Now, Jamie Hansen did was call me up and say, what do I do? And so we had a long talk. Of course, then when he decided to actually call the music ministry rehearsal, what happened was two people showed up. But he said it was really easy to keep track of rumors and things. And that's... So, all in all, everything was hunky-dory. But I think things are improving out there. So that's what this class can do for you. At the end of this year, you'll have data in your hands that you could go and make choral music happen in some other church. And be able to take a group that knows, you know, an assortment of things depending on their background, and it usually is that way. You don't usually start with a group that knows absolutely nothing. If people can sing, they have been, you know what I mean. If they can't, they probably shouldn't. You know, that's what you will find out there. And so the idea is to be able to do something. So we're going to start out in an area now today and work on this for a while. We'll just get started today. On the subject of tone production. Technique and teaching of proper tone production. Now, this is in no way going to mimic Sandy's intensive vocal training classes. But when you're out there, you really can't do that either. Out there, you want helps that can get them started down the right road. And areas that you can continue to work on over the months and years to improve them at a noticeable but undoubtedly gradual rate. Right? And so what you learn in this class is going to help you improve tonally, and obviously from what you sound like currently, tonal improvement is going to definitely help you out. But that's fine. That's why you're here, is to improve your singing ability. And it's good to hear what you sound like now. And that's why I have you sight sing something dead cold to find out how bad you do at it. That's why I have you sing four-part harmony to hear how bad you really sound, because by April, you're going to sound a lot different. And you're going to be able to read a lot better. And you'll be able to notice the change. Now, if in a semester's time, 2 hours a week, which is more than you'll use, well, that's about as much as you'd have with a group out there, you'd see how much you could progress in about a year with the information given in this class. And frankly, once you get out there and start working with it, you begin to realize how you can affect these people, what they need, and things you should work on harder and this sort of thing. And that's the way I teach this class. I find out what you need as an ensemble, and that's what we go after. See, in every class is different. I have notes on things, and I pull out what we need from this file of things and work on it in this class. And I may alter what I pull out of the file to the specific needs of a given class. So if you ever take over Choral Ministries and teach it from me, you would have to teach it the same way. In other words, I don't have an outline that you can follow and just plop the notes down and teach the class. You won't meet the needs of the individual ensemble. It depends on the ensemble and the people in it. This class has quite a cross-section. We have some relatively fine singers to some relatively highly inexperienced, not very good singers. And now we have to take what we have and make it something that can minister, right? And it requires a lot. So we're going to talk about proper tone production, which is where you begin. You get people so they can read a little bit, so they can all of a sudden sing together and find out what it's like to sing in four-part harmony. That's really quite exciting. You know, if you get together and all of a sudden we sound like an ensemble. And like what you just sounded like. Now, to most of you, maybe some of you thought it was pretty good. And that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But most of you have had enough experience, been in our music ministry or whatever. You know what a little bit better choral ensemble should sound like. And you don't sound like that yet. But what you sound like, right? What you just did accomplished over this last little while would actually be really thrilling to a group that's never done that or has done it very little. And it can even be surprisingly pleasant to a fine musician stuck in the midst of that kind of group. It can be surprisingly pleasant. And that's good, and that's encouraging, and it gives them a vision. And that's what's important, is to keep imparting vision, near-term goals. I mean, if they would see what you expected of them eventually, they'd all fold up and quit. See? And if music ministry today could see, or back 5, 6, 8 years ago, could see what I expect of them today and what they're beginning to accomplish today, they would have, you know, run me out of town on a rail saying I'm a heretic, all I want is worldliness and performance, and, God's not in what you're doing, brother. I mean, we're just here to flow in the Spirit. We want all this stuff. Well, now that they have all this stuff, they realize how much freer they are to flow in the Spirit. See? And and of course, the backing of the pastor and his wife were always there, and the eldership too, senior elders, were always there for the technical improvement of music ministry. And so most of the time, if not all the time, you will have that kind of backing from the pastor that you're under, especially if they've heard music ministry out in Seattle. They'd be more than happy to let you go aboard them with all you've got, but they would encourage you to keep the spiritual vision always at a high point. So we're going to alter the tone radically in here for the better, for the good of this ensemble. We're going to work on your tone for the good of this ensemble. Now, for the most part, that tone will carry across in general music ministry. There may be some changes, especially with better, stronger voices. You may have to modify a bit much for this group, but that's all right. You can just go back to singing the way you normally do in general music ministry. A fine singer is a person who can modify to whatever ensemble they may find themselves in. Okay? I have to do that. Sandy Willis definitely has to do it. Stuart Hansen definitely has to do it. Better singers, and I'm not stating necessarily that I'm a fine soloist, but in different choral ensembles I have the ability to make my voice blend with who I'm with. And that takes some doing. But you must apply the techniques that I give you every time you sing, so it will become an automatic response in your voice. In the shower, in the car, in front of the sink doing the dishes, as you're walking along, in church, every rehearsal, every time you sing, apply these techniques concertedly. Is that a word? Do it anyway. Probably isn't a word. Is it? Did I use it correctly? Well, I thought it was, but then I realized when I heard it, I thought, maybe I said the wrong word. It's like saying, well, I think I'll go over there subsequently. But it takes this concentrated effort continually on these items in order for it to become automatic. Giving it to you in this class is not going to do the trick. I'm providing you with the materials, but it's up to you to do the learning process. See? Now we're going to provide you rehearsal after rehearsal in which to apply it. But apply it in every rehearsal. Apply it in every exercise we sing. Apply it whenever you sing, and you will grow. How much you grow and how fast you attain is based on how much you try to do what we give you to do. Now, there are three areas we will deal with. One is the diaphragm, or the breath support mechanism. Two is the throat and the back of the mouth, which incorporates the palate position and tonal placement up in here. And three, the lips and facial muscles, and the focus and projection of the tone, and eventually diction. Now, there are three things that affect good tone production. One, posture. Two, physical well-being. And three, mental attitude. Now, last week, I talked with you about mental attitude, so we won't talk about that anymore. Physical well-being, I'll just say this. Get your sleep and eat properly. And a little exercise if you don't tend to get exercise in what you do in life. That doesn't mean you have to start a regimen or that you have to necessarily, you know, get a health spa membership. But it does mean some stretching exercises or some push-ups, sit-ups, a little weightlifting for the gentleman. Whatever you can fit into your schedule, it doesn't take very long. Jumping rope, Running, I think, is the most ridiculous exercise on the face of the earth, but running is good for you. Swimming is excellent exercise for the singer. Some exercise to increase your physical well-being. If all you're doing is working behind a desk, or working standing, you know, drilling holes in a piece of sheet metal or something all day long, and you don't really move around, and you sit at home and study, and you sit in school and study, and this sort of thing, doing a little something to breathe some air, to increase your tonality, to break a sweat, increase your aerobics, what have you, is good to increase your sense of physical well-being. Without proper nutrition, you will not sing as well. Without breakfast, you won't sing as well. All you runner out the doors with a piece of toast and coffee. Breakfast is important. Square meals, not big ones, not fattening foods. I'm not suggesting that all of a sudden everyone has to forget their diet. But you know as well as I do, a good diet, for those of you who have to or prefer diets, for the sake of weight control, realize that a good diet requires super good nutrition to keep your sense of physical well-being. So be sure of that. Robert? I don't know. That sounds like it could be a little bit of post-30 blues. But post-30 blues, yeah. Whatever. So we'll talk more about all this then next time. And get down into some actual singing some things and showing you what you can do. By the end of next class period, we will have improved your tone probably 100%. Chorally speaking.